merging with the Creator. Kabbalah is called the science of the hidden because it reveals to the one who apprehends it that which was for him previously hidden. Only the one who apprehends it sees the true picture of existence that becomes revealed to him, as is written in the poem by Rabbi Ashlag. The miracle truth will radiate, and the mouth will only utter that truth, and all that will be revealed in confidence you will see, but no other. Kabbalah is the teaching of that which is secret, since it is hidden from the average reader and becomes revealed only under very special conditions. From the teachings themselves, these secrets gradually become clarified to those who study it with special guidance in the direction of their desires and thought. Only the one for whom the Kabbalah ceases to be a hidden teaching and becomes revealed can see and understand the construction of the world in the so-called soul and body. Yet he is still unable to transmit to anyone the perceived view of creation, unable and having no right to pass this information, but with one exception. In the extent of his gradual spiritual ascent, one comprehends but one truth of creation. There is nothing except the Creator. We're created with such sensory organs that we are able to perceive only a small part of the entire creation, known as our world. All the mechanisms invented by us widen the range of our sensory organs. We are unable to imagine which sensory organs we're lacking because we don't feel any deprivation as a result of their absence, similarly as one would not feel the need for a sixth finger on the hand. Since we don't have the senses necessary for the perception of other worlds, we're not able to sense them. Therefore, despite the fact that we're surrounded by such rich environment, we are able to see only a small fragment of it. In addition, even the small fragment perceived by us is quite distorted due to the fact that we only grasp a small portion of it, and from its existence and basis, we proceed to construct with our imagination views of all existence. Like someone who sees only in X-ray mode and perceives everything as a skeletal picture, where X-rays are obstructed by objects, we also see a distorted view of the universe. Just as one cannot judge the true picture of this universe according to X-ray vision, so one cannot fathom the true picture of the world created through the perceptions of our sensory organs. There's no amount of imagination that can compensate for the lack of the ability to perceive, since even our fantasies are built on our past experiences. Despite all this, let us attempt to conceptualize in understandable form the so-called other world, the one that exists on the other side of our conception, the one beyond the range of our sensory organs. Initially, imagine that you're in a vacuum, in front of you, from the place where you are, and into the vacuum there stretches a road. Along the road, at certain intervals, there are markings, from zero at one point where you stand now, until the end. These markings divide the road into three parts. Movement along the road does not occur by the alternate advancement of the feet, but by the alternate changes in desires. In the spiritual world, there's no place, space, or motion as they exist in our familiar understanding. The spiritual world is the world of emotions outside the realm of physical bodies. Objects are emotions. Motion is the change of qualities. Place is a certain quality. Place in the spiritual world is defined by its characteristics. Therefore, motion is defined as the change of one's emotions. Similar to the concept of spiritual motion in our world, the motion of emotions, but not of physical mobility. Thus, the path that we're attempting to understand is the gradual alteration of our inner qualities, our desires. Distance between spiritual objects is defined and measured by the difference in their characteristics. The more similar the qualities are, the closer the objects are considered to be. The closeness or distance of objects is defined by the relative change in their properties. If two objects are identical, then the two distant objects merge into one. But if in one of the spiritual objects there appears something new, that particular quality separates from the first one, and in this manner a new spiritual object is born. On the opposite end of the path, in front of us, is the Creator himself. His location is determined by his attribute, the complete will to bestow. Since we are born to this world with only egoistic characteristics, By this, we're distanced from the Creator, as East is from West. And the goal placed before us by the Creator is to attain His qualities while living in this world. That is, to spiritually merge with Him. Our path is nothing else but a gradual alteration of our qualities to the point of complete likeness to the qualities of the Creator. The only quality of the Creator is the complete absence of any egoism, which is followed by a lack of any thought about oneself or one's condition and power, lack of all that comprises the essence of our thoughts and our aspirations. But since we exist in this world in a specific outer covering, then the care for bare essentials is necessary for the maintenance of this casing and is not considered to be the manifestation of egoism. In general, it can be determined whether a thought or a desire of the body is egoistic by a simple test. If a person wanted to be free from this thought, but is unable to due to the necessity of maintaining his existence, then such a thought or an action is considered to be involuntary, not egoistic, and thus does not separate the person from the Creator. The Creator advances a person in the direction of the goal in the following manner. He endows a person with a bad desire, or with suffering, which can be compared to the motion forward with the left foot. And if the person finds in himself the strength to ask the Creator for help, then the Creator helps him by giving him a good desire or pleasure, which can be compared to the forward movement of the right foot. And then again, the person receives from above an even stronger bad desire or doubts about the Creator. And once again, with an even greater effort of the will, one must ask the Creator to help him, and the Creator helps by giving an even greater good desire, and so on. In such a manner, a person advances forward. There's no backward motion. The purer the desires, the further a person is from the initial starting point of absolute egoism. The motion forward can be described in many variations, but it is always an alternating advancement through all the feelings. There was a feeling of something spiritual, that is to say, a subconscious sensing of the existence of the Creator. This brought about a feeling of trust, which then brought about a feeling of joy. Afterwards, this feeling began to fade away, to melt. This indicates that the person rose to another step of his spiritual ascension, which he still cannot perceive due to the lack of proper sensory organs that are appropriate for experiencing its properties. The perception of the next level has not yet been born, since a person did not yet achieve it through suffering and toil and work, that is to say, did not yet build the appropriate vessels for its perception. The new sensory organs for the next stage, that is to say, the desire for pleasure operating at this stage and consequently the feeling of suffering due to the lack of this pleasure, can be developed in oneself in two ways. By way of the Kabbalah, a person gains a perception of the Creator, then it disappears. In its place appears suffering because of the lack of the feeling of pleasure. And this feeling is necessary in order for it to be possible to feel pleasure. In such a manner, then, are born new sensory organs for the perception of the Creator at each consecutive stage. As in our world, without a desire for the thing, a person is not able to experience pleasure from it. The differences between people and between man and animal are determined by what they wish to derive pleasure from. Therefore, advancement in spirituality is not possible without first having a lack, that is to say, without suffering from the lack of what he desires. And development by the way of suffering. If one was not able, by means of his efforts, studies, appeals to the Creator, and entreatments of friends to elevate oneself to new desires to love the Creator and to fear Him, if one displays shallowness of thought, disrespect for the spiritual, and pulls towards base pleasures, then a person descends to the level of evil powers, corresponding to that particular stage. He steps along the left lane, finding himself in the corresponding levels of the evil or egotistic worlds of Azilot, Berea, Yetzirah, and Asiya. Sufferings produce in a person the aspiration to rid oneself of them to such a degree that the feelings of suffering will become a vessel into which a person will be able to receive the new perceptions of the Creator, similarly to the acquisition of the feeling by way of the Kabbalah. Progress made by way of the Kabbalah differs from the way of suffering in that a person is given the light of the Creator, that is, a feeling of the Creator's presence, and then it's taken from him. The lack of pleasure results in a feeling of lacking the light and longing for it. And this longing is the vessel, or the new set of sensory organs, through which a person attempts to receive the perception of the Creator. The aspirations pull a person forward, and he receives the desired perceptions. In the advancement by means of suffering, a person is pushed from behind by the suffering, and not like the path of the Kabbalah, where one advances there by way of the desire for pleasure. The Creator directs us in accordance with His plan to bring us to manifest each and every one of us and all of mankind, in this life or in the coming lives, to the final point of this path at which He is found. All our path is only steps in the advancement of drawing closer to Him in accordance with the equivalence of our characteristics to those of the Creator. Only by merging in qualities with the Creator will we gain a true perception of the creation of the world and see that there exists nothing else but the Creator. All the worlds and all the inhabitants of these worlds, all that we felt around us, as well as we ourselves, comprise only a part of Him. More precisely, we are Him. All the thoughts and actions of a person are determined by his desires. The intellect only serves to help a person achieve that which he desires. A person receives his desires from above, and only the Creator Himself can change them. The Creator did this intentionally in order that we should understand that everything that happens to us in the past, the present, and the future in our physical, social, family, and spiritual life, in all our situations, are absolutely dependent upon Him, and the improvement of our situation depends only upon Him, since only He is the cause of what happened, happens, and will happen, in order that we should recognize this and feel the need for a connection with Him. From the beginning state of lack of desire to recognizing Him at the beginning of the path, until the end of the path, when one has achieved a full attachment to Him. If a person suddenly experiences a desire to come closer to the Creator, a desire and pull towards the spiritual, then this is the result of the Creator drawing that person closer to Himself by means of instilling such a feeling in him. Similarly, with a reverse situation, by falling in one's aspirations, or even in one's material, social, or other status, through failures and deprivations, a person gradually begins to understand that this is done intentionally by the Creator to allow a person to feel his independence on the source of all that happens to him, and to make him understand that only the Creator can help him, otherwise he will perish. This is done by the Creator purposely, to arouse in a person a firm need in his Creator, so that he will change his state, so that a person becomes needy of the closeness with him, and the Creator, in accordance with a person's wishes, can bring him closer to himself. From this we see that the help of the Creator in saving a person from a spiritual sleep, or a situation where he's content with his present state in order to progress to the goal that was specified by the Creator, is in this, that in general there are sent to a person sufferings, failures, both physical and spiritual, by way of his surroundings, family, friends, colleagues, and acquaintances. Thus, we are created in such a way that anything that is felt by us as being pleasant is a result of drawing close to him, and the opposite, all of the unpleasant things as our being distanced from him. For this reason, our world is constructed in such a way that in it a person is dependent on his health, his family, those surrounding him, their love, and their respect. For the Creator, all of these serve as messengers so that he can exert on a person negative influences that would force that person to search for solutions to the pressing state in which he finds himself, until a person discovers and recognizes that all of the world depend only on the Creator. Then if he will find strength and patience in himself, he will become worthy to always associate all that happens to him with the desire of the Creator, rather than with some other causes or even with his own actions and thoughts in the past. That is to say, he will come to recognize that only the Creator and no one else, including he himself, is the cause of all that happens. The path presented above is the way of a single person as well as of humanity in general. Starting from the initial point at which we find ourselves, in accordance with our present desires, known as our world, and until the final destination to which we must arrive, even against our will, known as the world to come, our path is divided into four stages or states. 1. Absolute lack of perception, the absolute concealment of the Creator. The consequences of this state are absence of belief in the Creator and in the divine supervision from above, belief in one's own power, in the power of nature, of circumstances, and of chance. All of humanity is at this stage or at this spiritual level. Our life at this stage becomes a process of accumulating experience in our soul by way of various sufferings that are sent to a person. The process of accumulating experience of the soul occurs through repeated returns of the same soul to this world in different bodies. Once the soul acquires a sufficient amount of experience, the person receives a perception of the first spiritual level. 2. Unclear perception of the Creator. The consequence of this state, belief in punishment and reward, belief in the fact that suffering is a result of distance from the Creator, whereas pleasure is the result of closeness to the Creator. Despite the fact that under the influence of these tremendous sufferings, a person, after a time, might return once again to the previous stage, as he accumulates experience without himself being aware of it, however, in this way or another, this process continues until the person becomes aware that only a full perception of the Creator's management will give him the strength to progress. In these two situations, a person has the ability to choose to believe in the upper supervision. If a person tries, despite all of the disturbances that are sent from above, to strengthen his faith and to arrive at the perception of the Creator's management in this world, then after a specific number of efforts in both quantity and quality, the Creator helps him by revealing both himself and the picture of existence. 3. Partial revelation of his management in the world. As a result of this, a person sees the reward for his good actions and the punishment for his bad deeds, and therefore he's not capable of doing other than good actions and refraining from bad deeds. However, this stage of spiritual development is not the final one, since at this stage all actions of a person are involuntary, as a result of his awareness of reward and punishments. Thus, there's one more stage of spiritual development, the gaining of perception that all that is done by the Creator is done by him with absolute and eternal love for the created beings. Which is 4, the revelation of the complete picture of the Creator's management of the world. As a result of this, there's a clear perception that the management of the world by the Creator is based not on reward and punishment for a person's deeds, but is instead based on his unbounded love for his creations. This stage of spiritual development is attained as a result of the fact that a person sees clearly that all circumstances, with all the creations in general and with each in particular, without a distinction as to whether their actions are good or bad, the Creator always manages and supervises them only with absolute and unbounded love. When a person senses this upper spiritual level, he already perceives the future state of everyone. He perceives the situation of those who have not yet reached this state along with those in the past and in the present who have already reached it. He also apprehends how they individually and as one whole experience the same stage. This apprehension is a result of this, that the Creator reveals to him the entire design of creation and his relation to each soul in every generation for the entire duration of existence of all the worlds. All the worlds are created for a single purpose: to give pleasure to his created beings. This is the singular cause that determines all the actions of the Creator towards the created beings, from the beginning to the end of creation, so that all of them together, and each one separately, may experience an unbounded pleasure from their attachment to him. As a result of this, that a person sees in a clear manner that the Creator's actions are only to do good and to give benefit to his created beings, there becomes formed within him the deeds of the Creator towards his creations. A person is consequently imbued with a feeling of boundless love for the Creator, and as a result of similarity of feelings, the Creator and the person merge into one entity. Since that stage represents the end goal of creation, the first three stages comprise preliminary steps necessary for the attaining of the fourth one. All the desires of a person are as if they were situated in his heart, because they're felt there in a psychological form. Therefore, our heart is considered like a representative of all the desires of the body and of the person's essence. The changes in the desires in a person's heart tell us the changes in his personality. From the birth of a person, that is, from the time of his appearance in this world, the heart of a person is occupied only with the worries of the body, and only the desires of the body concern it. The heart is filled only with the desires of the body, and from them it lives. But deep inside the heart, in the depth of all the desires, there exists a point in the heart, which is hidden behind all the petty and temporary desires and is not perceived by us. It is the need for spiritual sensation. This point is a part of the Creator himself. If a person consciously, through the power of his efforts, to overcome and to leap over the indifference and laziness of the body, seeks in the Kabbalah ways to draw closer to the Creator, this point gradually becomes filled with pure and good desires, and a person gains the perception of the Creator on the first spiritual level, the level of the world of Asiya. Then, passing in his perceptions all stages of this world Asiya, he begins to perceive the Creator on the level of the world Yetzirah, and so on, until he reaches the highest level, the perception of the Creator on the level of the world Azilot. Every time, he experiences all his perceptions in the same inner point of his heart. In the past, when his heart was under the influence of the desires of the body, so the inner point of the heart received absolutely no perception of the Creator. He was only able to think about the desires the body forces him to think about, and also to desire only that which the body would force him to desire. And now, by means of prayers and requests and demands to the Creator for his spiritual redemption, he fills his heart with pure and altruistic desires. Then he will begin to perceive the Creator, and will be able of thinking only about him, since there are born in him thoughts and desires that are related to that spiritual level. Consequently, a person always desires only that which he is forced to desire by the spiritual influences that he receives in accordance with the stage at which he finds himself. Given the above, it becomes clear that a person should not strive to alter his thoughts himself, but must ask the Creator to alter them. Since all our desires and thoughts are merely consequences of what we receive, or more exactly, of the degree to which we perceive the Creator. In regard to the entire creation, it's evident that all derives from the Creator, but the Creator created us with a certain degree of freedom of will. The ability to direct our desires appears only in those who reach the stages of Asiya, Bereya, Yetzirah, and Azalot. The higher a person ascends spiritually, the higher is his degree of freedom. For the sake of clarification, it's possible to compare the process of a spiritual development of a person with the development of the material nature of our world. Since all of nature and the universe represent but a single desire for self-gratification, which exists in each individual to a varying degree, as this desire increases, more advanced beings come into our world, because the desire induces the mind to work and develop the intellect for the satisfaction of one's needs. A person's thoughts are always a result of his desires, follow after them, and are directed only for the attainment of these desires and nothing else. Along with this, thoughts possess a special role. With their help, a person can increase his desires. If he will constantly deepen and expand his thoughts about something and strive to constantly return to this thought, then gradually this desire will begin to increase with respect to the other desires. Therefore, in this manner, a person is able to alter the correlation of his desires. With constant thoughts about a small desire, he can increase it into a large desire to such an extent that it will overshadow all the other desires and will determine the essence of that person. Phases of revelation. The lowest level in the scale of the spiritual resembles the inanimate part of nature, similar to bodies in space or material and so on. This inanimate level is also called not alive. The inanimate level in the spiritual, or someone who is found there, is not capable of acting in an independent fashion, nor revealing individual characteristics of its own, since the desire to have pleasure within it is so small that it is defined as only guarding its characteristics and not furthering their development. Lack of individuality at that level of creation is pronounced in the fact that it possesses nothing independent. It focuses on its function blindly, automatically carrying out the desires of its creator, since it can't conceive of anything else because it has no individual desires. Since the creator wanted inanimate objects to behave precisely in this manner, he gave them the lowest level of desires, which did not require these objects to develop. Thus, having no other desires but the ones originally implanted in them by the Creator, these objects blindly perform their task, caring only for their needs that are of a spiritual inanimate nature, not sensing their surroundings. Similarly, in people as yet spiritually inanimate, there is also a lack of any individual desires. Only the desires of the Creator guide them, and because of their nature, they must follow this guidance meticulously and subconsciously in accordance with the program implanted in them by the Creator. Therefore, in spite of the fact that the Creator devised people's natures in this manner for his own purpose, In this spiritual state, people cannot perceive anything but themselves, and consequently cannot do anything for others, but can only work for their own benefit. Thus, this level of spiritual development is called inanimate. A higher degree of development can be found in the nature of plants. Since the Creator conferred on the objects belonging to this group a greater desire for pleasure than given to inanimate objects. In plants, this desire produces a necessity for certain movement and growth in order to satisfy their needs. But this movement and growth is an attribute of a group rather than an individual aspiration. In people that belong to the vegetative level of desire, there appears a certain level of spiritual independence from the Creator who sets the program. Since the Creator constructed all of nature on the basis of absolute egoism, that is, on the aspiration for self-gratification, on the vegetative level, these individuals begin to develop inclinations to distance themselves from the desires already implanted in them, and consequently begin to act out of consideration for others, that is, as if against their nature. But regardless of the fact that the plants in this world grow in all directions and in fact possess a certain freedom of movement, their movement is still considered to be a collective movement, since no one plant is capable, due to a complete lack of appropriate desire, even to fathom the possibility of individual movement. Similarly, a person belonging to the vegetative level of desires is not capable of aspiring to individual endeavors that diverge from the norms of the collective society and his upbringing. On the contrary, he aims to preserve and to obey all the norms and the laws of its vegetative environment that's comprised of a similar group of people belonging to the vegetative level of development. So, just as the plant, the person of this level, has no individual, separate life. His life is part of a community where he resides among numerous others like him. Among all the plants and among all the people on this level, there can be found only one common life, rather than an individual life for every being. All the plants, in general, can be compared to a single vegetative organism, in which each plant can be likened to a separate branch of this body. The people belonging to the vegetative spiritual level can also be compared to this example. Though they do sometimes display deviation from their egoistic natures, nevertheless, because their spiritual development is minor, they remain confined by the laws of society and by their surroundings. They have no individual desires and consequently strength to stand in opposition to society or to their upbringing, even though in some matters they already go against their own basic nature and act for the benefit of others. On the spiritual gradation of development, the vegetative level is followed by the animal level, which is considered higher for the reason that the desires allotted by the Creator to this level develop those belonging to this level to such a degree that they find satisfaction in the ability to move independently of others and to think independently for the purpose of satisfying their desires, much more so than the vegetative level. Each animal has an individual character and feelings irrespective of the surrounding environment. Consequently, a person at this stage of development possesses a greater ability to function contrary to his egoistic inclinations and for the good of others. But even though he's gained a degree of independence from the collective and enjoys a personal individual life, a private life, that's not conditioned on the opinion of the community, he's still unable to feel for anyone except himself. The one who exists on the human, the so-called speaking level of development, is the one who is already capable of acting against one's nature and contrary to the collective, unlike the plant, the one who is completely independent from society in the choice of his desires, the one who feels for any other being and can thus care for others, help them in their quest to better themselves by identifying with their suffering, the one who, unlike the animals, can sense the past and the future and can thus act, being guided by the recognition of a central purpose. All the worlds and the stages ascribed to these worlds can be conceptualized as a consequence of screens that conceal from us the light of the Creator. As we acquire the spiritual strength to encounter our own nature, each of its forces, each consecutive screen disappears as if it had been dissolved. The following tale illustrates the progression of our spiritual quest to dissolve the screens and to live as one with the Creator.